Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
In today's first reading, we hear of the first followers of our Lord, quote, raising their voices to God with one accord, to pray to the Heavenly Father, as it says in Acts 4, verse 24. And as they prayed, says Acts 4, 31, the place where they were gathered shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So we'll just use this episode from the early church, the earliest part of the church, as an opportunity to give a brief reflection or exhortation on prayer itself. Prayer is defined by the saints in many different ways, but they all have a common theme. St. Gregory of Nyssa says that prayer is a conversation or a colloquy with God. St. John Chrysostom says very similarly that prayer is speaking with God. St. Augustine defines prayer as thinking of God with pious and humble affection. St. John Damascene says that, quote, prayer is the elevation of the mind to God, or it's petitioning God for things which are advantageous for us. St. Bonaventure defines prayer as the pious affection of the mind directed towards God. St. Thomas Aquinas, when he speaks of prayer, he says it's the elevation of the mind to God in order to praise him and ask him for that which is helpful for our eternal salvation. And for her part, St. Teresa of Avila says that prayer, specifically contemplative prayer, she says that it's nothing else other than a close sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us, says St. Teresa. I think the simplest way to think of prayer is that it is our relationship with the Lord. Prayer equals relationship. If we have a strong prayer life, then that means our relationship with the Lord will be strong. If we have a weak prayer life, then our relationship with the Lord will be weak. Of course, prayer has to be accompanied with the works of mercy and the sacraments and right intention and doing good in general, but the source of all those good things should be a life of prayer. And just like any relationship, our relationship with the Lord needs to be nurtured, and it needs time and attention and effort on our part to grow. St. Teresa of Avila says that the essence of prayer is to pay attention to God and to speak and to listen to him. Why? Because, you know, obviously with a relationship, you get to know someone by spending time with them, by speaking with them, by listening to them. You share your thoughts, you share your heart with the other person, and they in turn do the same. They share their thoughts and their hearts with you, and it's a giving and taking. You give and you receive. That's how relationships work. A relationship isn't a one-way street or a monologue. It's actually a two-way street, and it's a dialogue. The little Teresa, St. Therese, describes her prayer life in this way. She said, I say very simply to God what I wish to say without composing beautiful sentences, and he always understands me. And then she adds this. She says, for me, prayer is an aspiration of the heart. It's a simple glance directed to heaven. It's a cry of gratitude and love in the midst of trial as well as joy. Finally, it's something great, supernatural, which expands my soul and unites me to Jesus, she said. And the Cure of Ars, St. John Vianney himself, says that God looks neither at long nor beautiful prayers, but only at those that come from the heart, says the Cure of Ars. So with prayer, it's not so much the techniques or the methods that count, even though those are helpful. With prayer, what counts is our desire, our intention, and the effort that we make to cultivate a real relationship with the Lord, but also our perseverance as well. St. Teresa says that even when our prayer life seems bare and unproductive, she says our perseverance serves and it gives pleasure to the Lord. So even though it seems sometimes in prayer that we're more maybe physically present than spiritually present, nevertheless, the Lord sees our desire to be with him, and that's pleasing to him, and he will reward us for that. God is more generous and more lavish with his gifts and graces than we give him credit for. And as a side note, we remember that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We hear that from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 20, verse 35. It's more blessed to give and then to receive. Sometimes we can even apply that verse to our prayer life. If we don't feel like we're getting anything from our time in prayer, maybe we should switch our thoughts and around and say, well, it's better to give than to receive, so I give this time to you, Lord. Please give your consolation, give that awareness of your presence to someone who maybe is in more need of it than I am at this moment. I think if we have that attitude of giving rather than always wanting to receive in prayer, I think that'll be very, very pleasing to our Lord. And again, there's no way that God will be outdone in generosity. He'll repay us greatly for that. Saint Teresa says that there are many people who begin the spiritual life, but sooner or later they give up and they don't reach the end. Why is that? I believe, she says, this is due mainly to a failure to embrace the cross from the beginning. So one, failing to embrace the cross. Then she says, thinking that they are doing nothing when they pray, people become afflicted. When the intellect in prayer ceases to work, some people cannot bear it. But it is then, meaning that at times when we don't think we're praying well, she says, it is then, perhaps, that their will is being strengthened and fortified, although they may not be aware of this, says Saint Teresa. Translation, just because at times it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere in prayer, if we're still making the effort, then God, again, is going to bless that. And we can be sure that he's strengthening us in ways that we aren't even aware of here and now. The spiritual life, as we've said before a number of times, it's more like a marathon than like a 100-meter dash. It's more like a marathon. So we don't want to give up after we've run a few miles and we feel like we're not getting anywhere. The Lord will refresh us along our journey if we reject those thoughts of discouragement, those thoughts of futility, and if we persevere in prayer, if we persevere in our relationship with him, he will reward us. The good news is that the thoughts of futility or discouragement are not from the Holy Spirit. That's the good news. And God doesn't want us embracing that which doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. We've even said before in a number of reflections, even the name Israel that God, we hear in the Old Testament, the name Israel, even that, what does that mean? It means he who wrestles or strives with God and overcomes. So prayer can be a struggle, just like any relationship can be a struggle at times. Probably married people can attest to that, right? But if we remain faithful on our end, God will reveal himself to us in his time. He will always be faithful. In his time, he will reveal himself to us, and we will have the peace that comes from him, and he will bless our life. Not to mention, he's going to give us eternal glory in the next life to come. And we'll just close with a scriptural illustration which speaks on the benefits of prayer. This may be a bit of a stretch here, but try to humor us in this reflection. The prophet says in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, he says, a voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, says the prophet. We know John the Baptist used these words from Isaiah to describe his own ministry in preparing the way for the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I think we can apply those verses even to our prayer life. When we pray, we too are preparing the way of the Lord in our lives and in our hearts. Prayer, one, it lifts up the valleys that are inside of us. What does that mean? It means that it fills in those areas in our hearts where we are defective or where we're wounded or where we're lacking. We could be lacking a sense of significance or security or even a sense of love, and we keep turning to the wrong things to fill those needs in our lives, to fill that void in our heart. Prayer helps us fill those voids, fill those valleys inside of us in a healthy way. and it also helps to heal our hearts as well. Prayer also lowers the hills and mountains that are inside of us, to use the imagery of the prophet. What's our interior hills and mountains? What does that refer to? Well, pride, lust, anger, sloth or laziness, greed, gluttony, all those capital sins. Prayer is like a spiritual chemotherapy, if you want to think about it in that respect. It helps shrink and eliminate those spiritual tumors that we carry around within us. And so prayer turns the rocky, hilly wilderness of our soul, it turns it into a garden where the glory of the Lord is revealed, to borrow again from the prophet, meaning that prayer helps to make our interior life a place truly where God dwells and where he reigns as well. Our soul becomes a new paradise for the Lord when prayer becomes our constant theme and our constant companion. So let's ask Our Lady today for the grace to know how to pray, and also for the grace to persevere in prayer. If Jesus' disciples, if our Lord's disciples can ask him, Master, teach us how to pray, if they can say that in Luke 11, verse 1, then those of us who are devoted and consecrated to Our Lady, all the more we can certainly say, turn to her and ask her, Mother, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray as I ought to. Not only will she teach us how to pray to her Son and to our Heavenly Father, but she'll also form our minds and our hearts into the mind and heart of her Son at the same time. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.